You know, I don't know if you've ever found yourself at a place where you felt like there was no other place to go. Maybe you were at the end of your line, end of your rope, and you just didn't know what to do, what was going to happen. Maybe you haven't been to that place. Maybe your life is a little different. Maybe your life can be kind of like mine. You know, for me, I remember spending much of my time growing up and trying to accomplish as much as I could, play as many sports as I could, do as many things as I could. I kept trying to work and work and work, trying to make sure that I would live life with no regret, which that's not a bad thing to do. But here's what happens, no matter where you find yourself in life, whether you find yourself in a moment like that where you have no other place to go, or you find yourself at a place where you recognize that you haven't accomplished all that you feel like you should have accomplished, maybe some untapped potential or unmet expectations that bring about some guilty feelings, whatever it may be, you recognize that the very foundation of where you need to be is not finding yourself kind of hurting and dwelling in a place where there's no answer, or dwelling on the fact that there are unmet expectations, but you find yourself in a place of surrender, unconditional surrender. And that's the video that we just saw. She found her place, found herself at a place where there was no other area to go, no other things that she could do, but just unconditionally surrender. And maybe, just maybe in your life today, that's where you are. Maybe it is because of something that has happened in your life, a trauma that's happened in your life. Maybe it is past sin. Maybe it is unmet expectation, and you've worked yourself so hard that now you're finding yourself exhausted. Listen, I just want to encourage you today that the answer is not found in unmet expectation. Listen, the answer is found in unconditional surrender. And today, may you surrender. I was thinking about the church in general and where we go as a church and what are we to do. Listen, we can dwell on the past. We can sit and kind of rub our injuries from a year of COVID. We can kind of think about maybe unmet expectations. We can do all those things. But can I just say, as the church, the answer for the church today is not more programs, it's not more therapy, it's not any. Listen, the answer for the church today is unconditional surrender. And what God is calling us to do is get to a point where we say, God, I can't do any of this on my own. There's nothing that I can do under my own power. I want to give everything up over to You. I want to yield all authority and control to You. I want to surrender. In your life today, have you surrendered to God? J.D. Greer, who is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, also pastor in North Carolina, he says, don't be mistaken, there is a difference between surrender and sacrifice. There's a difference between surrender and obedience. You can sacrifice, but still be in control. You can obey, but still obey yourself and the laws of the land. Listen, there is a difference in surrender and sacrifice and surrender. You can still hold on to things and keep control even though you sacrifice and even though you obey. But this is what he said, and I thought this was very interesting. Surrender is a blank check. Surrender is when you come before the Lord and you just hold up your arms and your hands and you say, God, everything that I am, everything that I ever hoped to be, I give to You. Now, I don't believe that there's going to be a mighty movement through the church, a revival through the land, until the church can present themselves as a blank check before God. And I want to encourage you over the next several weeks as we start a new series on surrender, to begin asking the question, have I truly surrendered it all to God? Am I working on my own, trying to accomplish things? Am I dwelling on the past? Am I feeling lost and hopeless? Or have I surrendered all things to God? Today, we're going to talk about why surrender. Why is it important to surrender everything over to Him? And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 21. We're going to read verses 21 through 26 this morning. And a powerful reminder of what it means to surrender. And we're going to talk through that passage, but then talk a little bit about why it's important to follow after what Jesus is directing us to do. And I think this is a great segue from Easter, talking about the resurrection, and then Pastor Jorge's sermon last Sunday, as we move forward in this idea of surrendering it all to Him. So Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 21, if you're able, would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? So Matthew chapter 16, this is what it says in God's Word. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It says, from that time Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Then Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that is in your word. Holy Spirit, move and work in this place, transforming us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think about this passage, what an incredible passage, really setting the context of this passage, and you recognize what is happening. Jesus speaking to His disciples, sharing with them the purpose and the plan of why He was there. Now, obviously, we know this as we had just celebrated the resurrection, and we can look back on what Jesus did and understand God's plan and God's purpose. But for the disciples, for those that were following Jesus, they didn't truly understand. And so what Jesus is telling them was earth-shattering to them. Jesus saying, I'm going to be killed and then be buried, but I'm going to raise again. Listen, this was earth-shattering. This was life-changing for them in that they had all these hopes and dreams of Jesus taking over the earthly kingdom and being victorious there. And so for them to hear that and for them to hear this plan, it was very difficult. So let's not think too lowly of Peter in this, because he probably, more than likely, wasn't the only one that was disturbed by what Jesus said. And so evidently, the other disciples thinking the same thing. We know Peter to be that mouthpiece for a lot of people. He'll step out and pretty much say anything. And so that's what Peter was doing. Peter loved Jesus. Jesus loved Peter with all of his heart. And so it was natural for Peter to come and kind of protect Jesus. That's what he was trying to do. He was coming as that shield, saying, there's no way this is going to happen to you, Jesus. I'm not going to let this happen. Listen, this is an incredible loyalty and allegiance. That's what this is from Peter. So let's don't think too lowly of him. But here's the issue. And this is how Satan works. And this is how he moves even in our world today. If he can do anything and hinder in any way the message and the power of the gospel, Satan's going to do it. And so this is a great picture of not Peter being a bad person, but of Satan doing some work here and trying to bring a hindrance to the gospel message. What Jesus was about to do. God's ultimate and perfect plan. And so here's Jesus saying, you know, step away, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Listen, you're being a hindrance. But then he says to Peter, listen, your eyes are on the world and not heaven. And can I just say, this is the problem that people have every day, right? This is the problem that we experience all the time as Christians today. And this really is at the very heart of surrendering or not surrendering. Listen, it is so easy to surrender when things are going well, but when things are going difficult, it's hard to surrender everything to God. We want more control. Why? Because our eyes are on the world. And so I believe, and this is what Jesus was saying, He says, listen, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on the things of man. As people today, as Christians today, Many times we set our minds on man and we set our minds in the world rather than on Jesus, and so therefore we are not surrendering everything. Colossians 3 says this, "If you then have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above where Christ is seated." Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Listen, this is not in your notes. It's not a point in your notes. But I believe that if we're going to surrender and have unconditional surrender in our life and be a blank check for God to use and to do whatever He would in our life, it's going to begin with us recognizing where our minds and our eyes need to be. They need to be on Him. And Peter was taking his gaze off of God and the plan that God had and the purpose. He was thinking earthly and of His nature. And so Jesus was kind of setting him back into the right place. But then he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he really outlines this thought of what needs to take place. What is going to need to happen in order for you to be usable and open and ready to be used and to walk through this time with Him and to be surrendered. And he just says this as he outlines this incredible passage. And he says, "Then Jesus told His disciples, 'If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me.'" If there was ever an outline or diagram of surrender, this would be a great diagram to follow. If you want to follow Jesus, if we want to be a follower of Christ, which I hope with you being here and watching online that that's your desire, that's what you want more than anything in life, to be a follower of Jesus. Listen, this is what needs to happen in your life. You need to deny yourself and take up your cross. Now, words can light and superficial, but the meaning behind the words are heavy and powerful. And so for us to hear words like this, Jesus saying the same directive to us that He gives to the disciples, listen, if you want to follow, then you must deny yourself. Listen, you know how hard it is to deny yourself? You know, for us to lay aside our dreams and our aspirations, lay aside all our wants, lay aside what we think needs to happen, and we focus everything on Jesus. Listen, that is so hard to do. But Jesus says, deny yourself and then take up your cross. Now for us, again, we can look back and see the heaviness and the burden of the cross and what Jesus bore. And we look at these words now and listen. And you may hear this all the time. You may hear about Christianity being wonderful and great, and we experience all, listen, that's what we want to preach all the time, experience the joy and the peace of being a Christian and following after Jesus. But listen, in Scripture, let's get a real picture of what Christianity is about, and it's about carrying your cross. And can I tell you, the cross is heavy. The cross is heavy. And so we experience persecution. We experience difficulties in our life. Listen, just because we are a Christian doesn't mean our life is easy. And so Jesus is saying, listen, deny yourself. Take up your cross. It's a heavy cross. And follow Me. And as we think about it, and again, this is just a broad scope of surrender. What does it mean to surrender? It means this, that you come before Jesus, your eyes fixed upon Him, and saying, all that I have, all that I am is Yours. My dreams, my aspirations, my past, my future, everything that I have and everything I will be is Yours. I will take on all that You have for me, Jesus. I surrender and I yield to You and Your authority. That's the directive, that's the what Jesus has called us to do. He's called the disciples to, and He calls us to the very same thing. And that is unconditional surrender. Jesus, it's all about You. So why would we do this? Listen, that's a very heavy task to deny ourselves and take on our cross and to follow Him. Listen, that is heavy. And I just want to first say this, that this is not in your power and strength, so know that. And always understand that as we walk in this life with Jesus, that this strength and power, the supernatural power, which that's what we read in Scripture, the resurrection power, comes only through Jesus. That gives us what we need in order to live out this faith. But as we're doing this, why do we do this? Why is this so important? So I just want to share a few things. To start off our series on surrender, why is this important? Why should we surrender our life to Jesus? Well, listen, the first thing is this. Surrender brings glory to God. Surrender brings glory to God. If you were to ask a question to anybody in this world, why are we here? What is our purpose? Listen, I hope the first answer should be this, to give glory to God. That's why we're here. We're created in His image. Why? So people can see God. We are His children. We're made in His image. We are to bring glory to Him in all things. So when we surrender to God, we're bringing glory to God. And we look in Scripture, Psalm 115 says this, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory." Now, I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, it takes everything I have, every ounce of energy to get going in the morning. I do, but once I get going, I'm pretty hyperactive and I can get going and really be obnoxious. But it's hard to get going really in the morning. Can you imagine if our mornings, and we talked about how we start our mornings because I think it's so important. Can you imagine if we started our mornings off with that declaration from Psalm 115? If this is how we declare in the morning, not to us, O Lord, but to Your name, we give the glory. Can you imagine how your day would begin? That is the first part of this blank check, is for you to say, not to me. I don't need any recognition. I don't need all the attention. I just want You to get glory, God. Now, I'm a firm believer that if you set your day in the right direction, that it's going to be a pretty powerful day. And there's no better way to set your day in the right direction than to point it towards God. And so for us to wake up in the mornings and say, not to us, not to me, God, but to You, may I give You glory. May all people give You glory with everything that I have. Listen, when we surrender in that way, we're giving and bringing glory to God. And you know what? He deserves all glory. I love Romans 11:36. It says, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." Now, before you begin thinking, well, I can do Him a favor and give Him glory, let's just settle on the fact that everything is His and all things belong to Him. Every second of our day, every breath that we take is His. So listen, because it is all His, He deserves the glory. So it should be automatic for us to give Him glory. Why? Because everything is His anyway. And so for us to surrender, what we're saying is we're giving You glory, God, the glory that You deserve. We want to give it all to You. Listen, surrender brings glory to God. But listen also this, surrender brings us closer to God. And this should be vital in our relationship. Every morning, every day, it should be vital in our relationship with Jesus that when we surrender to Him, it will bring us closer and into a closer relationship with Him. Now, you know, I'm doing some premarital counseling, and I've done a lot of premarital counseling for marriages, and I'm married, and I know many of you are. Listen, marriage can be hard, it can be tough, but let me tell you, it is impossible unless you are totally open and honest. If you're holding something back, listen, marriage is almost impossible to do that. And I believe the same way in your relationship with God. If you're holding on to anything and kind of clutching it so tightly in your relationship with God, not wanting to give it over, listen, that relationship will never flourish with God. And so when we surrender everything to Him, we actually get closer and draw closer and closer to Him. We will be closer to Him than ever before. We will experience that joy and that peace like never before. Why? Because we are open and honest and we are surrendered to Him. That there's nothing being held back from our relationship with God. Listen, when you surrender, you draw closer to Him. I love Psalm 63. Psalm 63, an incredible psalm, verses 1 through 4, and it says this. It says, O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh faints for You. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon You in the sanctuary, beholding Your power and glory, because Your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise You, so I will bless You as long as I live. And I love the second part of verse 4, and it says, In Your name I will lift up my hands. You know what the secret of drawing closer to God is? Now listen, this was the cry of the psalmist here. This is what he desired. He wanted to experience God. He wanted to be drawn closer to God. He wanted to have Him in his life all the time. But listen, so what is this secret for him to do that? It's at the very end, In Your name, I will lift up my hands. Now, for some of us, when we come to worship, we'll see people raise their hands in worship. Some people won't, and that's fine. I mean, we all worship in different ways. But listen, there is a purpose in raising up your hand. Not just asking a question. I know sometimes you want to say, you got a question over there? Anyway, but there's a purpose for raising your hand. Why? Because you are surrendering. What does it mean? What does it mean when you're on your knees before the Lord with your hands held high? You are surrendering. You are saying, God, here I am. All that I am. I want to know all of You. I want to encounter You. That's one of the aspects of knowing Him and drawing closer, is that you begin to encounter His ways. And the way that you encounter His ways is by raising your hands and coming before Him and saying, God, I am Yours. You know, I always believe as a Christian, we're supposed to live our life open-handed. But the natural, fleshly side of us, we want to live closed-handed, right? That's how we've been raised, in a sense, to hold on to what we have, to work hard and to keep what you have. But I believe as believers, we're called to be open-handed, and even more so in our relationship with Jesus. We are called to be open-handed in that, God, whatever You want, my hands are open and ready to receive, and open and ready to give. So when we talk about raising our hands, when we talk about worshiping Him in that way, we're talking just saying, hey, I'm surrendering everything to You. Listen, you will encounter His ways like never before. And you know what? When you begin to do that and drawing closer to Him, not only will you encounter His ways, but also your faith is going to increase like never before. Your trust that you have in Jesus will grow beyond leaps and bounds like you've never thought before. As you open up your hands and you worship Him and you release everything over to Him and yield everything over to Him, listen, your faith will grow as you trust Him more and more and more. You know, there is power and there's intimacy in surrender. I also love this, and I was reading about surrender, and I came across this idea that, you know, as we encounter Him and grow closer to Him, we do see His ways more, and we encounter Him through His will and His plan, and we do experience Him in those ways, and our faith grows. But I read the ABCs of surrender, and I thought, that is pretty amazing. And that's this, that when we surrender to God, we experience, one, assurance. As we grow closer to Him, that assurance of His presence is more felt than ever before. Listen, that seems like it would be opposite, that we, more control that we have, the more assurance we have in what's happening. But as we let go of control, we have more assurance. But also blessing. We have blessing when we are in intimate, surrendered relationship with Jesus. And we talk about blessing, and I'm not talking just about physical blessing. Well, I believe God blesses physically. I think that's a part of it. But I do know for certain that God blesses spiritually. That when we are surrendered to Him, that's when we see the most joy in our life. And we experience the most peace in our life. Even in hard and difficult times, we experience that peace that passes all understanding. That's God's blessing in our life. That's how He moves and works in our life. Pastor Jorge read a passage last week out of Philippians talking about Paul, about whatever gain I had, I counted loss for the sake of Christ. And this is what he says that, in verse 8. He says, "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Surrender. When we surrender our life to Him, we gain Him. And in that is blessing. But here's what I love too. As we surrender, not only the assurance and the blessing, but we have confidence like never before that God is going to work in our life. You can have confidence. You know, and this is the hardest thing to grasp for me. And I watching that video, and in the first hour when I watched the video, it didn't hit me as much as the second this time. But in those moments, when you see your life kind of it seems out of control, and you feel like things are hopeless, and at those moments when you surrender, it's at that moment when the world would look in and say you are at your weakest moment, that actually when we surrender, we are at our strongest. That we become our most confident when we surrender. Why? Because our God is in control. And so when we surrender as a church, our plans, our future, when we surrender as families and as couples, as kids, as we surrender, what we're doing is we're putting back the control of all things into the one who can control it. Listen, there's great confidence in that. I was reading this week about some battles, the history of our country and in our world, the different wars that have been experienced. And the author was talking about battles won and battles lost. He made this comment. He said, "The act of surrendering is very difficult for those who realize that the battle is lost." I thought that was a very interesting statement. So you think on the battlefield, the hardest people to surrender are the ones that realize the battle is lost. I think that's an interesting concept, because for us to surrender, listen, for us to surrender, we have to recognize not that the battle is lost, but the battle has already been won. Now, let that sink in just for a moment. You can surrender your life. You can surrender your future. You can surrender your family. You can surrender your plans. You can surrender all things, not because your hope is lost, not because the battle is lost or the war is lost, but you can surrender all these things because Jesus is victorious. We have won the battle through Jesus, and so therefore we can surrender. So be confident today as we talk about surrendering our life to Jesus and all things to Him in our life so that He might use us for big and great and mighty things in this world. Be confident today that you surrender in victory, knowing that Jesus is going to do what He has called us to do, and He's going to be successful in our life. Listen, we have victory. Therefore, we can surrender. The battle is won because of Jesus. And so I want to ask you this question. Are you surrendered? Have you unconditionally surrendered to Jesus? Have you given over everything to Him? Have you opened up your hands like a blank check and just said, "God, I am yours"? Have you surrendered? There is no better life than the surrendered life. No better life than the surrendered life. And my prayer is that we as a church would be living a surrendered life. That's where God works. That's where God moves. Is that where you're at?